Lord gave me a new message for the service at 4:15 this morning. I had planned all week on continuing from last week, and I am going to continue that at some point. We'll have James service next week. Last week I talked about trials and tribulations. What's going on? What in the world is going on? And I actually have 10 things that the Lord gave me for a series there, and I just got through the first one last week, Principalities and Powers. But I felt early this morning that God spoke to me, and I've learned to trust those changes. As you grow in the Lord, you'll kind of sort through your impulsiveness. When you're young, it's easy to be impulsive and maybe jump to this or jump to that. But as you get older, the Lord helps you to understand the difference between flesh and spirit. I appreciate that he does that. I'm a very emotional person. It's very often that I'll say, Lord, is this me? Is this my emotions? Is this me or is this you? I want to hear your voice. I want to clearly hear your voice. But I definitely feel that the Lord spoke to me this morning that I settling for less than best. I could break down and sob sharing this message this morning very easily. What I had on the wall there was settling for less than best. Sad, sad story. Probably the thing that's been the most grievous, if I may use an old English word, but it's the one I want to use, probably the thing that's been the most grievous to me in the ministry is doing our best. We're certainly not perfect, and we certainly don't always do it right, but doing our best to give people the nuts and bolts they need, encourage them to spend time with God, do our best to present Jesus in the best possible way, urge them, draw them passionately, try to stir them to grow. Try our best to give them the tools to do that. And certainly the Savior, presenting the Savior to them who can do that. Only to find that they're going to settle for less than the best. My wife can tell you that when I, in my search through the ministry, find those folks who are very serious, I become very passionate very quickly. That person who wants the pearl at great price, that person who truly wants to go for the gold, all of our works will be tried. Some will be wood, hay, stubble, some gold, silver, precious stones. They want the gold. They want the silver. They want the precious stones. They want to be totally committed to the Lord. Settling for less than best. Unfortunately, in the American church, there is so much settling for less than best. What God wanted to do in your life, what He wanted to do in my life, what He deemed as His will to do in your life, we didn't open the door to it. We weren't willing to take the steps to do it. God is scanning the flock, looking for people who will say, I want the pearl. I'll take up my cross. Yes, I'm going for the gold. Many have been troubled by the verse, many are called, few chosen. No reason to be troubled by that verse. God scans the flock, and that person who steps up and says, Jesus will be my first love. The pearl of great price will be what I seek after. Putting God first in everything I do, from my finances to my home to my family, all the way down, is what I'm going to do. God says, I choose you. And then someone else, maybe trembling, steps forward, and maybe they're fearful because it is a step. But they say, I want it too. He says, I choose you, and I choose you, and I choose you. But how sad it is when we settle for less than best. Genesis chapter 25 is a story that is troubling to me. And I'm going to do very, very diligently work at staying focused this morning because I could go lots of directions with this. I have lots of thoughts on this chapter. But Genesis 25, I had it on the wall there, but if you want to jot it down, Genesis, I'd encourage you to read this in your own devotions this week. If you're, sometimes we get a little dry in our devotions, where should I read? And we all have that happen at times. I would encourage you to study this passage. My hope is that we would share things that would stir you to look into it further. We're not on the defensive about truth here. If truth's the truth, then as you study it and seek God, He'll reveal that truth to you. And He'll put it deep in your heart. We're not here to sell you some idea or doctrine. We're not defensive about the gospel. We're trying our best to present the gospel as pure and as holy and right as we can. And we believe that as you go home and study it, you'll come to the same conclusion. And we'd encourage you to do that. Genesis 25, verse 19, is the story of Jacob and Esau. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. We're reading from Genesis 25, now verse 22. And the children struggled within her. She's having twins. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. She couldn't have children. She inquired of the Lord and waited. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And waited. And she had a struggle within her, and she's, "Lord, what's this about?" And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from you. One people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins born. First came out red, and all hairy like a garment, and they called his name Esau. After that, his brother, Jacob. And Jacob's hand took a hold of Esau's heel. That's interesting. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. Now we get to the sad part. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of the venison that he prepared, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, kind of hung around mom, worked in the kitchen. He's fixing some soup. And Esau came in from the field, and he was faint or tired. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profits this birthright to me anyway?" Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way, and thus Esau despised his birthright. Despised in the Greek is B-A-Z-A-H, bazah, and it means he didn't esteem it. Interesting, that definition. In other words, what's the big deal? He didn't esteem it. It wasn't important to him. He didn't recognize the value of it. He didn't realize what he's dealing with here. Boy, I could go lots of directions with this, but I'm going to stay on track today. But I will stop to say this for a minute and just take the exit ramp for a second. Don't sell your birthright for a temporary bowl of soup. Mm-mm. Oh, boy, that soup looks inviting. Don't sell your birthright. for a temporary bowl of soup. The devil is a master at offering you something on the spur of the moment, at a time when I'm faint, I'm weak. He's a master at offering us something at that moment when, oh man, I'm discouraged, I'm down. How refreshing this would be. And the soup was refreshing for that evening. Seemingly filled the bill for that evening. But there was a far greater thing at stake here. The blessing of the Father. The firstborn blessing that Esau was to have. The tremendous blessing that was to come, which is symbolic in the New Testament of the blessing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I still believe in the Father's blessing. But it has a new enhancement in the New Testament. For a father, like many of you, who walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you, oh my, you have a lot more powerful blessing than you can imagine. Esau despised his birthright. Hebrew word, baza. He didn't esteem it. Didn't think it was important. I'm going to read now Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said, "My son." And his son said, Esau said, "Behold, here am I." He said, "Now I am old and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow and go to the field and take some venison." And I preached on this a few months back. Acted out this story a little bit. So we'll kind of hurry through this, but he's telling his son, it's time for the blessing. I'm getting old. I want you to go and get some venison. Make me savory meat such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob and said, "Hey, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before my death. Now, my son, obey my voice and do what I tell you. Go to the flock and fetch me 2 kids of the goats, and I will make savory meat for thy father that he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and he will bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father will feel me, and peradventure he'll see that I'm a deceiver, and I'll bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." And his mother said to me, "Unto me be thy curse, O my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them." So he went and fetched them and brought them to his mother. Stay with me. I'm going to read here a little bit. This is a cool story. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were there in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put skins of the goat hair on his hands and on his neck. Boy, deceiver. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to his father and said, "My father, here am I." And he said, "Who art thou, my son?" You see, Isaac was blind at this point. And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn, and I have done according to what you told me. Arise and eat of my venison, and may your soul bless me." And Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you so quickly found the venison, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." This guy's a rascal, isn't he? And Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." You always want to listen to the voice and not go on feelings. You always want to listen to the voice of God's word and not go on feelings. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou very my son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, come near to me and I will eat of my son's venison, and my soul will bless thee. And he brought him near and he did eat, and brought him wine and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me now, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God, give thee the dew of the heavens and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee, and let nations bow down to thee, and be Lord, and you will be Lord over your brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be anyone that curseth thee, and blessed be anyone that's blessed of thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the room from the presence of Isaac, Esau showed up and came in from his hunting. He also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of my son's venison, that my soul may be blessed of him. And Isaac, his father, said, who are you? He said, I am your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I've eaten of it? And I've blessed him. And yes, he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. I want you to notice that. He cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. But we read a few moments ago that he did not value. He did not value or esteem his birthright. Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came very subtly and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath deceived me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I've made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now for thee, my son? You get the urgency of this. And Esau said to his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. I've read enough. It goes on to say that Jacob did then lay his hands on Esau, but could not give him the best. I want you to get that. Could not give him the first and best blessing because he'd already given it to Jacob. Oh boy, I could go lots of directions. I told you early on in the message, I could cry. I could break down and sob very easily over this passage. This is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. If I could somehow, with the help of the Holy Spirit, transfer this over into a New Testament context, because you have to do that with the Old Testament, because now Christ has come and we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But let me talk for just a second about the Father's blessing. I believe, men, talk to you guys for a minute, priests of the home. First of all, do you have a blessing? First of all, do you have a blessing? How is a blessing acquired? I want to have a blessing. I think that's a problem right to start, is that we're living the kind of lives unfaithful to the Lord and wayward and pleasing ourselves, and we're living self-centered, self-consumed lives, and we're all about pleasures, and I don't think we have a blessing. A blessing from God and favor from God. It's not something magical or some magic wand over you that I'm going to bless my boys. And you know, no, it's a very simple thing. It's a faithful, intimate walk with God. It's, as Adam's, the intent of God in the Garden of Eden when he created man, that he would have fellowship with man and that man would walk with him in the cool of the day. And as you walk with God and commit to do that, there will come a closeness with God in you. And as you seek moral purity and relationship purity and purity of thought. And you have your human body and you're going to make your mistakes. But as you go back to the mediator and you go back through Jesus and you continue to develop and walk with God, there will come on your life a favor. I have seen it. I have seen it. I was blessed to be second in line. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. One of the reasons my boys have been badgered, and this isn't a throw-off or an excuse, for they all have wills and they can make their own decisions. But one of the reasons my boys have been badgered so hard is they're the third generation. Jack Robbins, my father, had a prophet's anointing and he broke that chain in the Robbins family. It was horrible addiction and immoral activity and hideous things. And my dad broke that and became a Christian and a follower of Christ and became a minister. Paul and Jim and I are all three ministers, and our kids have all had a horrible, difficult road. And I'm not throwing off on that, but I think it is important to say those things because a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when you can get three generations going, you've got something. I will bless you to the third and fourth generation. Some of you are first in line breaking the chain. My heart goes out to you. Mark Hardinger's testimony says that. Mark and Cindy are off in North Carolina today, and we miss them. But Mark would say he's the first in line to break his chain. There's a set of circumstances and difficulties that go with that when you're the first one to break it. I've had a lot of favor and blessing. A lot of the blessing I've had on my life isn't about me. Oh, I've sought to be faithful. I've walked with the Lord 44 years, and I'm not going to say that in an apologetic way. I have. But I'm reaping some benefits from Jack Robbins and Virginia Robbins. I'm reaping some wonderful benefits from that. First of all, do you have a blessing to give? It's through faithful walk with the Lord that comes God's favor. It's so sad when we don't have a blessing to give. Back on track, Esau despised his birthright. May I say to you that if you walk with God, listen closely, if you walk with God, he will give you a blessing. We're under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He enhances that to another level. And you're going to give your blessing to somebody. I've seen times when there was family members that didn't want the blessing. Esau despised his blessing. And this is a sensitive subject in families for sure. But I have written here, your blessing will go to somebody. If your sons and daughters, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. If your sons and daughters, if your biological sons and daughters don't want your blessing, God will still give it to somebody. I saw a family a number of years ago. I've been thinking on this, chewing on this for years. It's a heavy thing. I saw a family years ago where it was obvious that the son did not want his father's blessing. He, like Esau, despised the father's blessing. In this particular family, it was the oldest son. It hurt the father. The son shunned the father, didn't want the father's blessing. I saw God give it to the grandson. I saw the anointing of God unusually on the grandson. This is sensitive because I've been spending a lot of time with my brother and brother-in-law. We've talked a lot about this because we've all prayed for our families. I also saw a similar thing happen in the family of one of my brothers. I'll say it that way. I've been blessed in that. I've had a good relationship with my sons. But God has also sent me people, hosts of people over the years that had a hunger for the blessing they saw. And I say that very humbly, but the blessing they saw on our lives that God had given, much of which came from my father. I somehow, with God's enabling, mustered the courage, Howard, to ask the Lord for part of Pastor Bishop's mantle. I didn't feel like I should have it. I say that because Howard and I had a precious trip down to see Pastor Bishop before he died. And God had sent an angel to his wife. Pastor Ronald Bishop and Jack Robbins were my two mentors. And God had sent an angel to his wife. She took me aside and told me that a man with a long flowing beard and robe had come to the door and said it won't be long now. And he died right shortly after that. It surprised me a bit. I believe in ministering spirits. I've had some amazing experiences in my life. And I believe in ministering spirits. I didn't question that. I think maybe when she told me she expected me to act a little surprised, I wasn't. I don't say that flippantly or pridefully, but I wasn't. I wasn't surprised. But I, with God's enabling, had the courage to say, Lord, could I have part of his mantle? This is really private. But I remember as a young man asking the Lord if I could have my dad's wisdom. People would drive 300 miles to talk to my dad 30 minutes. I asked the Lord to give my dad's wisdom, my dad's preaching anointing, and Pastor Bishop's compassion and mercy. Elisha saw in Elijah something he wanted. And he followed him and he bugged him. And he drove him crazy. And Elijah, on the human side, even though he loved Elisha as a son, at a couple points said, can I paraphrase? Haven't you got something to do? Haven't you got something to do? Now, I'm going to go on, and you stay here. You know, can you see him? Go ahead. Just get real busy with that. We'll see you after a bit. Elijah, go with it. He go with it. Because he had asked God that when he wanted, God had said, if you see him go, and through Elijah, he had said to Elisha, if you see him go, I'll hear you. And he asked for a double portion. That's pretty gutsy. You know what I love? I love people who have a hunger for God and they drive me nuts. They just drive you nuts. But they got a hunger for God. And it's a wonderful thing. And none of you are doing that, so don't anybody read anything into that. I looked at one of you and I thought you might have thought for a second, I wonder if it's me he's talking about. I'm not. I get excited when somebody wants it. They want it. They want the pearl of great price. Esau, sad, sad story, didn't esteem his birthright. Wasn't important to him. Don't sell out. Don't let the pearl of great price slip through your fingers for some silly addiction or some silly bottle or some silly relationship that's unhealthy to start with. Don't let the pearl of great price slip through your fingers. I'm not suggesting to you that you're hanging over hell by a thread and then all you have to do is goof up and God chops that. God is a God of mercy. He's anxious to forgive. But there is something to this. Many are called and few are chosen. And God waits to see who wants the pearl of great price. He waits to see, no, not likely that I'm going to stay here and stay busy, Elijah. Not likely. When I see you leave, I'm going to be on your coattail because I want your man. God is looking. Is that scriptural or not? John chapter 4. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Daddy used to say, God is scanning the crowd to see who is serious. The root word of worship is worth. Oh, do we ever have a distorted? Don't get me started. Do we ever have a distorted definition of worship in America today? You know, I'm on the worship team. I'm this. Worship comes from the root word worth. What does worship mean? What something is worth to you, you will respond accordingly. What something is worth to you, you will respond accordingly. Cute little granddaughter walks up in her pretty Easter outfit. And we go, oh, honey, hi. And they say, oh, they just worship that little. What are we saying? It's obvious by their reaction how much she is worth to them. God's waiting to see what he's worth. Pam and I recently had felt there's an item we should sell that we've enjoyed. Some of you don't want me to do that. And I understand that. You like to see us enjoy. I got no issue with that. You like to see us enjoy ourselves. You know life's busy. You know it's hectic. You know there's been some burdens. You like to see us enjoy ourselves. I want to give my best lamb. You with me? I want to give my best lamb. So I scan my material possessions. God's given me all kinds of things. A beautiful home after the fire. I didn't dream to have a home that nice. God's given me all kinds of things. I don't have any money in the bank. We live from paycheck to paycheck. Sure, take good care of us, but we like to give. We need to build this church in Haiti. John tells me that we get that church up, there's going to be 300 attending. It's 150 and growing, and they're busting out the walls at that house. You guys gave so generously to the rescue resort. My goodness gracious, biggest offering we ever took in 35 years, $35,000. So we get the rescue resort going to do the budget. Takes a lot more than everybody realizes. So Pam and I scanned our flock of material things. What do we have we could give? And the most expensive item that I owned personally and she owned with me, we wanted to give our best lamb. So I just want you to understand that. And I understand, you know that we enjoy that item, and so you want us to enjoy things, and that's because you love us. I understand that. I understand those things. But this is about something bigger than all of that. I want to step up and always offer the best thing that I have. You with me? Because I want the Lord to look down and say, I choose that guy. That guy there, I choose him. Because I'm going to tell you something. The birthright from the Lord is a powerful, powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And as you grow in the Lord and you experience his anointing and his favor, which Isaac had and he hoped to present to his boys, as you grow in closeness to God, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Anybody know the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Old, old song. I bet Rita knows that. Sorry, Rita. You're not old, you just know the old song. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead here. I'm not sure I'm ahead. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I appreciate the things I own, but I'm less attached than I've ever been. I want to give my best lamb. You with me? I want to give my best lamb. It's not to impress anybody. It's not to make a statement or some nonsense like that. No, it's just really pure and simple. It's that I always want to step up and give my best lamb. That's what I want to do. A few years ago, we did the same thing. I'm talking about the material thing now, and that's less than the spiritual, but a few years ago, we had felt the same way, that God just laid on our heart. There's some things that we enjoyed. We thought, no, let's put that on the altar. And I've had some incredible things happen that where God has blessed me, and I said, Lord, I don't deserve this, and he reminded me, when you give your best, I'll give my best. when you give your best, I'll give my best. Can I say something? Don't anybody get mad. And will you please come back next Sunday? It's James service, and we're going to feed you, and we're going to sing to you. But can I just be real honest? I'm grieved at American church because they give God their leftovers. This thing I'm preaching this morning is scarce in the American church. We give God our leftovers. I never will forget, and you got to trust my motive on this. I don't want any gifts from anybody. All right? Now, there's a time for that, and it's always nice and wonderful when they do, but I'm not saying this with any motive. I shouldn't have said I don't want any gifts. It sounds kind of rude and crude. I don't mean it that way, but I saw my daddy really grieved one time, and it wasn't about the gift, but let me tell you the story. We were very poor as kids. Daddy lived on grace and mercy, and he was a traveling evangelist, and Daddy used to say we were poor in Job's turkey. That's pretty poor. God sent along people to help us. Kenny and Dorothy Summers, S-U-M-M-E-R-S, Summers, not to be confused with Kevin Summers, S-O-M-M-E-R-S. It's on the Faith or CMO Haiti board. No relation there. Kenny and Dorothy Summers gone to be with the Lord. I actually wrote a letter, a 3-page letter, and asked it to be read at Kenny's funeral. The way Kenny and Dorothy Summers took care of my dad, just looked after him. But this isn't about Kenny and Dorothy, it's about somebody else. Somebody dropped in and they said, we're talking about giving our best. They dropped in and they said, Pastor Jack, we brought you some stuff. We just butchered a beef and a hog, and we got some stuff left over. Some of this is a couple years old. But we thought, let's just give it to the Robinsons. There's some liver and brains and things in there. And some of the packages you'll see dated. They might be a couple years old. But we need to clear out our freezer for our new beef and hog. That's what they said. I remember standing there as a little kid. My dad and mom were the most gracious people. Daddy, you'd have thought you just gave him Rolls Royce. He said, well, thank you very much. That was very kind of you. He cried after they left. Not because they didn't give him steaks and part of their new. He cried because they were given the leftovers. He cried because he knew the value of giving your very, very best to the Lord. And Daddy was in the ministry. And Daddy traveled all over and spoke in churches. And who knows, the hundreds of people will be in heaven from Dad's ministry. I can remember in the tent meeting days when Daddy'd give invitation after preaching his heart out. And there'd be 20, 30 people at the altar praying. But I also remember that gift when somebody just gave what their leftovers were. Maybe you could use this. Whatever God is worth to you. And those are sensitive stories and sensitive to my own heart. And you take risk of misunderstanding. Visitors could be here who don't know me and could have misunderstanding of why is he telling these things. I'm trying to drive a point home that God wants our best. And when we step up, and we'll give our best. I was grieved 20, 25 years ago when we were in the middle of a huge ministry project. And we were asking people to give. And it was souls. It was about souls. That's what it was about. It was a new ministry project that everybody believed in and felt like it was going to be something to be real helpful. And it was about souls. And somebody in our leadership group during that time spent $30,000 on a toy. And I remember just being shot to pieces in my heart. I never said anything because they missed the marvelous, marvelous principle of giving your best. Oh, we look on sometimes and we say so-and-so is, boy, they sure seem to have God's favor. They got God all over them. Man, they sure have God's favor. You follow that person around, you're going to find these principles exist in their walk. That God is first. That the best lamb is always what they choose. This is a delicate subject, but I felt early this morning the Lord said, if CMO is going to have my favor, if CMO is going to fulfill the vision and have the effectiveness in this community to draw people to Christ, it's going to be because the hub of the people exercise and believe in these principles and practice them. your blessing, I'm almost done. Your blessing's going to go to somebody. I've had times when I cried. Because I knew in my heart of hearts, it wasn't about me, it was about the Holy Spirit, but I knew in my heart of hearts I had a blessing that I could give somebody. But they didn't want it. They didn't esteem it. Oh, they might have liked me and thought I was a nice guy and they liked to hang out with me, but they didn't esteem it and value it and want it, and I could see that. God will give it to somebody. God will give it to somebody. Elisha followed Elijah. And isn't it something? What he said when Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire, he cried out, "My father, my father." Ain't that cool? My father, my father. When God ordains a sonship or daughtership, when God ordains it, it's a marvelous thing. Instead, some of us have had heartaches over our children. Instead of grieving, I had a point in my life where I was grieving over a family member. I was grieving over a family member. And God said to me, "Are you going to grieve forever over Saul, or are you going to go anoint David?" Because that's what he said to Samuel. He said, "Quit grieving over Saul and go anoint David." And now God spoke to me and chastised me on that and said, "All right, I've heard your prayer and I understand your concern, but are you going to anoint Saul? Or are you going to quit grieving over Saul, or are you going to go anoint David?" Elisha called out to Elijah and said, "My father, my father." And as Elijah was taking the chariot of fire, his mantle fell on Elisha, and Elisha ended up, I'd like to have seen that. I would like to have seen what happened following that. Can you see Elisha with the mantle? Oh boy, it's time to try this out. And he found that the faithful God that was faithful to Elijah used him in a powerful, powerful way. And he did have the mantle. He did have the double portion. I don't know how many of you over the years have followed the Wilkerson family, but I've always appreciated, he's with the Lord now, but I've always appreciated David Wilkerson. I've always felt he was the real deal. For one thing, he didn't showboat his ministry. That's a bad sign right there. Watch for those red flags. He didn't showboat his ministry. I remember one time back in the 80s, I believe it was. Some of you might correct me on that. I'm not good with dates. But it's been 25, 30 years ago. When he sent out a letter to all his supporters and he said, "We're going to move to Texas and we're going to put our ministry all in a great big pole barn." He said, "We're getting too big and we're becoming prideful." And he said, "We need to trim down." And he had a spell of time where he moved. But I've always appreciated the anointing that was on David Wilkerson, and I've appreciated Gary, his son. Gary isn't threatened by David. David was a powerful man of God. He's not threatened by that. It's interesting to read his sermons. He speaks with the utmost respect of his father. He's not threatened by David. Nor does he feel inferior. He's not afraid to say, "I have an anointed message." He's wearing the blessing. He's putting it on and he's wearing it. And that's an awesome thing. I don't know what I'm saying this morning is about. But I know that at 4:30 this morning, the Lord spoke to me that I needed to read the story of Esau and Jacob, and that I needed to challenge you to give your best lamb. I was going to have on the wall, I have written here, "You know who gets God's best? Those who give their best and put him absolutely first." You know who gets God's best? Those who give their best and put God absolutely first. I'm going to quit. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, thank you for these truths this morning. May we be very serious in our walk with you. May we be very, very devoted to you. You know, Lord, that this message this morning, kind of heavy content for an American church, but it's all through the scripture. Lord, I would ask that you would take these truths and use them. May they produce fruit in our lives. And I ask in Jesus' name that anything that's been said in the flesh would melt. Those things have been said in the spirit, which I believe is most of what was said, if not all. I ask those would sink in deeply and make a difference in our lives. be with us as we go from this place. And Lord, lay on our heart who we can bring with us or invite for next week. And we realize sometimes you invite people and they don't come, and we understand that. But help us to have someone on our heart. That's the important thing, that there's someone on our heart. Take us out of self-centeredness and being self-focused. And may we focus on you. Thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.